Please turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. And as a lead-in, last week we saw that John was teaching that we test the spirits. And I was even talking to somebody today about the importance of that because they have a family member that's being deceived. And we live in a time of great deception, and the Bible says it's going to be incredible in the last days. And in the last days, because people turn away from the truth, they will believe a lie. And that the Antichrist is going to come with great signs and wonders. And a lot of the deception today are people that are seeking after signs and wonders instead of the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so if a lot of people think if you see a sign, then that must be God. Even that's how I got deceived into the occultic reincarnation psychic phenomena world, because I would see psychic phenomena stuff that my dad was pointing out and teaching me, showing books of. How could Edgar Cayce possibly know what was wrong with somebody hundreds of miles away when he's doing a reading for them? And that his diagnosis and his treatment would then heal that. It must be God, because only God would want to heal somebody if there is a God. And, you know, and again, Edgar Cayce didn't really teach you as a God that there's a psychic power you can tap into and you become Christ consciousness. But I thought if it's good, it's got to be good. Well, just because some people have powers doesn't mean the powers are from God. And great signs and wonders will be done by the Antichrist, and the world will flock to him for that same logic. They're going to think he's doing great signs and wonders. You can only do that if you're from God or our God. And so they'll go after him. So be careful of those people that say that they're Latter-day apostles and they do great, wonderful things and stuff, because it could be deceiving you. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." And this continues to be the theme in our study today. I mean, the whole Bible boils down to we really have to have agape love, self-sacrificing love for God, because he had self-sacrificing love for us, and to have a self-sacrificing love for those, our brothers especially, and for those that are around us included. And John continues with that. Verse 12. "No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us." So God's completed work in us is to have extreme love under unloving circumstances. That's what it's saying. Perfect love is when we're complete, we can have a supernatural God love. Now, when we first get saved, it's not there. But what God is working on is, if you're being discipled in Jesus, you're being discipled into having more of a God love in your heart, even though you're in unloving circumstances. That's what he's saying. Not wanting to get back. Why? Because did Jesus get back at us? Yeah. In fact, even in his judgment of the nation of Israel, what was his motivation? "I'm sick of him. I'm just going to trash him just to get back at him." No. His motivation, you can tell from Scripture, was to preserve what? To preserve a remnant. You know, so even in that, I'm going to have to judge you so that some of you can survive into my promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob all the way to the end of time. And so even the judgment was a love to all of us, because he had to preserve the very nation that was going to bring the Messiah. And had they continued in their idolatry and their immorality and everything, they would have self-destructed and become nothing. And so he used judgment as discipline. So we ought to also not have that get-back attitude. We should have the same. They can hit me. I don't have to hit back. I don't have to get back to whoever it would be. And being able to let it go. Is God willing to let go the things that we have committed, you know, sins that we've committed against him? Certainly has. The day we bowed the knee, he He basically made it all go away. And I tell people, God's got a rap sheet of you until you get saved. And when he gets saved, he goes into the file and he pulls a rap sheet out. And tell the guys at jail, you don't care more about what God's rap sheet has. It has a whole lot more than the prosecutor's office has. And he's willing to get rid of all that. And say when you're born again that the file says no more further entries allowed because God forgives us. And just as I noticed in Sudan, this really has been a lesson to me because one time in Sudan, this last time I was there that when Dustin and I were there, it was about a year ago. In fact, it was a year ago that I was there. And one time a guy asked a question. It was in Arabic. And we'd have the translator there, but he was asking a question. And I didn't understand what it was, and it's a long-winded question. And finally, everybody just got all freaked at him. And I, whoa, settle down. What's the problem? You already answered it, and he's just long-winded, and he's just wasting our time. And it was like, I thought there was going to be a revolt. And I thought that. I go, man, guys, just where's the love? And see, the thing is, that's their culture, tribal, it might have been a different tribe. You're dumb and they rose up and there was issues there. And now look what's happened, you know, that it's so inbred in their culture and we're trying to teach the chaplains and have taught the chaplains about the love of Jesus and everything, but it's something that they were so quick and you could tell this has got to be cultural. It's got to be cultural that they just snap and they just quickly put down something that's wasting time or doing this or doing that. And may God help. And I say, you guys, you need Jesus to get rid of that. And we do too, don't we? We need to not be slow to snap at things that come up. And we'll see John continuing with that. And so it's perfected. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. Now, people will say that John is the love apostle. Why? Because he's always talking about it. He's talking about it in his gospel. He's talking about it in the epistle. And he's the oldest apostle. He's 90-some years, you know, close to 90 years old when he's writing these. And what is it all about? It's all about something simple like the love of God, faith in God. So if you're getting really discipled, it's not because you're a prophet to the church and you're this, you're that. That's nothing. You learn from John. People will know you've really gotten close to Jesus in your life. You've really been discipled. You've really been set free from the world and the flesh when you have agape love. That's what John is saying. And that's what we should all strive to do. If I want to be completely discipled by the time Jesus comes, I want to be closer and closer to being discipled in that one thing, love. As much as we can, no matter what somebody does to us. And there's, you know, we live in a world full of human flesh, ours included. And there's a lot of reasons to not love. And may God help us, amen, to just let. And he's going to go on and tell us how. By this we know that we abide in him, verse 13. And he in us, because he has given us his spirit. Now, where have we heard that before? It was in 1 John 3:24. It says now, 3:24, it says, now he who keeps his commandment abides in him and he in him, and by this we know that he abides in us, the Spirit whom he has given us. And what is the Spirit doing? The Spirit is giving us love. So by this, see, in other words, I can know I'm really saved if I have the Holy Spirit has, one, made me in love with his law and made me in love with love. Again, God wants us to be assured of our salvation, and he's saying twice now through John, I know he's got me. I know he is truly the Lord of my life because I've sensed his Holy Spirit changing me in these areas. Verse 14, and we have seen, eyewitnesses, and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. There is no other Savior. Whoever confesses that Jesus, meaning God's salvation, whoever confesses God's salvation, Jesus is God's salvation, is the Son of God, the Messiah, sent by God as promised. God abides in him and he in us. And we talked about how, again, people say, oh, I believe Jesus. I believe Jesus came and in the flesh. And it doesn't mean that. It means the mission of what Jesus. It's everything about what he came to do you believe in. Then you are saved. And we know, we have known and believe The love that God has for us, God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. So the Bible's very clear, hatred's not of God. And the Holy Spirit is moving us to obedience to God in his law and obedience to God in love. And so if we're completely contrary to that, you can't even appeal to somebody, man, you're lacking love. I don't care, he did me wrong. Then something's wrong. Because an appeal to love, the Holy Spirit's going to instantly agree with. You're right. I need to lay that down. I need to stop it. That's unloving what I'm doing, is what a true believer would want to do. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter of the Bible. Let's go through this just because this defines agape love, self-sacrificing love, and we'll let the Holy Spirit use the Word of God to strengthen these things in our lives because we're living in a time where, well, Jesus said that when he returns, the love of many will wax cold. The times of the last days are going to get so evil that the love of many will wax cold. And that's true, isn't it? I mean, it could be true for us. I mean, if we became a victim of all the immorality that's going on in the world, in our families, or the murderous intents, you know, this week we had a Muslim shooter that goes through and just wants to kill people. In, where was it, Fresno, California or something. And he just wants to go Allah Akbar and just kill somebody. What if that was your wife or your children or whatever else? There would be a tendency to want to have hatred, wouldn't there? And the love of many would grow cold. You'd be watching the rest of your day, you know, being careful where you are all the time, who's driving by, who's got a gun, whatever. And so these things that come into our culture can cause the love of many to grow cold, and God's Holy Spirit's going to want to say, no, you got to love. I was listening to Mike McIntosh. He taught at the Calvary Chapel Association Pastors Conference called Stay the Course here a couple, 3 weeks ago down in California, and he had gone to Iraq and was ministering to the survivors of the ISIS genocide of Christians. And the ISIS would just show up at the door. In fact, what he said in his sermon is that before they showed up, the Muslims had already marked, they would go and mark the doors. We know this one is a Christian, this one is a Christian, because they lived together. You know, Muslims and Christians have lived together in Iraq and everything else for years before we got involved over there. And everything about our involvement has brought the Holocaust upon Christians. And so that, you know, this one's a Christian, this one's a Christian. So when ISIS came, they would just come to the door. And they would say, okay, here's the deal. You either convert, or you're going to pay a big tax, or you're going to die. What do you want to do? And he was telling us that there was this one 70-year-old lady. She just shut the door on them. And four guys that showed up. And I guess because of her age, Mike didn't say why. She wouldn't. Who would know? And they sent four more the next day. Okay, we're gonna convert or tax or die. Shut the door. And then they came the next day, another four guys, and they said, convert, you know, tax or die or leave right now. And she just had the purse and her shirt on her back and walked for 70 miles, a 70-year-old lady. If I remember, Jeremy listened to it today, pressure in his mind. And she told Mike McIntosh, there's no way I'd deny. And everybody else behind there I'm not even going to tell you the atrocities because it's too troubling, actually. What Mike said happened to those Christians that refused to deny and were mercilessly slaughtered by these ISIS guys. And so love of many will wax cold, but see, they still had love. You know, they were upset with having to deal with it, but they didn't deny, and they had horrible things happen in front of their eyes, and we need to make sure that we're prepared in our hearts. 1 Corinthians 13:4, love suffers long and is kind. So that means, what does it mean, agape love suffers long and is kind? It will put up with offenses for a long time. What does the world say? You know, as soon as you better deal with it. As soon as somebody offends you, get in their face so they won't do it again. And the Bible says to love suffers long. Love does not envy. Well, envy is a form of covetousness. Coveting is, I want what they have. And what envy is I should have what they have. I deserve what they have. I need to have that car. I need to have that house. I need that husband. I need that wife. I need that kid. You know, I wish my kids were like their kids. I deserve kids like their kids. I deserve parents like their parents. I mean, on and on and on. That's what envy is. And love does not envy. We should never have an attitude of, man, I should have that. Because why? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I'm thankful I have a roof over my head. I'm thankful I have transportation. I'm thankful I have a wife. I'm thankful I have a kid. I thank you, God, because you have given me everything of my life. And you know what's best for me. So envy, covetousness should not be part of our life. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Why would love not want to parade itself? Why would love not want to say, look at what I've accomplished. Look at how big I am. It's because true love, if I believe in Jesus Christ, what does that mean? I believe that everything that I have came from Him. So how can I glory in myself? Look at what I've accomplished if I know that I couldn't even breathe if it wasn't for Jesus letting my heart tick today. So we should never pray. Everything should be, even when people, oh, you did a great job, praise Jesus. Thank you for praise Jesus, because it's Jesus who lets me live, eat, and breathe. And is not puffed up, does not parade itself, is not puffed up. And puffed up is looking down your nose at others. Kind of like the Pharisee. I'm glad you didn't make me like the tax collector and the sinner. How come we shouldn't be puffed up against in our view of other people? It's because they're but for the grace of God go I. I was a sinner apart from Jesus. And if I grew up in a sinful world and stayed sinful and I had all these influences, I could be in prison. I could be in jail. I could be like that person. The only reason I'm not is because of the grace of Jesus in my life. And so we don't become puffed up and think that somebody is unworthy of being shared with. Someone told me on Sunday, he was giving us a report at men's breakfast last Saturday. He was saying he and his children were driving along over by Costco at one of the roundabouts, and he sees a homeless guy out with a sign that was looking like he was really, he couldn't breathe and he was struggling. And so he just jumped out of the truck and went over and Heimlicked him. He was choking on some food that somebody had dropped by that he was just scarfing down so fast because he was hungry that he was choking. And so he Heimlicked him and then he had a needle in his backpack there because he called 911 right away and they came and he says, hey, watch out, there's a needle there and all this stuff. So the guy was doing drugs and other things and he almost died. He could have died. But Jonathan came out and then just shared with him. And then he told us about it. And we prayed for him. And then Jonathan went back later on Saturday. And he came Sunday morning. He says, I found him again. I got his name. I got his phone number. And just started witnessing to him. He's just sobbing and crying and knowing he needs to get right with God and everything. And see, if we didn't have the love of Jesus, what would we be thinking? He's choking, probably deserves it. Just move on, let somebody else take care of him. Oh, he's got a needle, I'm moving on, blah, blah, everything else, and who knows? I mean, it is tragic, and may God help those that are wrapped up in drugs to be set free. But the love of Jesus has come face to face to that guy. The guy, Taylor, has seen the love of Jesus in a servant of Jesus. And what an awesome thing that could do in his life. And so I tried to call him today. And then Jonathan reminded me, hey, have you called? I got the number from Jeremy and tried to call, but so pray for Taylor. It's Taylor, right? Pray for Taylor. Because we're not looking down, right? Our nose. And he needs Jesus. Therefore, the grace of God, there, I could be a homeless person. Does not behave rudely. King James is unseemly. Unbecoming of a saint. Don't act unbecoming of a saint of the Most High God. That's what it means. We shouldn't be If I love Jesus and I love the people that I want to minister to, I'm not going to tell them about Jesus today and act unbecomingly of a saint tomorrow and then cause them to wonder whether or not I really believe in what I say I believe. Does not seek its own. I'm not just looking out for me, myself, and I. Is not provoked, not quick to respond to an offense, not exasperated. Are you just instantly wanting to, you provoke me, I'm going to get you back? God wants to get rid of that. It's like being long-suffering. I'm not easily provoked. Thinks no evil. In other words, this is a difficult one because, again, it's hope. It's thinking the best about person. It's kind of like defaulting that what they're telling me is the truth. What they're doing is with good motives. It's not like I'm thinking everybody is talking to me is a liar. Everybody's messed up. Everybody has an ulterior motive. You walk through life like that, you're going to become cold-hearted to everybody. And even though it might be true, they're doing you wrong, they're trying to rip you off and stuff, but you can't walk through life thinking like that. It's one of the detriments of being a cop is that you're surrounded by that kind of stuff. I know cops, and you're surrounded by it, and it's just like you live that way. You live like everybody's messed up. Thinks no evil, but the best possible thought as to the motive and conduct of others, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. And see, the test of that is when you see immorality, you see evil happening, do you want to laugh like all the sitcoms do? Like all the Hollywood media, this is what so annoyed me by watching, at the car dealership watching that episode of Big Bang. It's just, perverted joke. Perverted joke. and just realize that's the way the world is. They pipe the laughing in, I guess, sometimes it's easy to do. But the world laughs at, they laugh at evil. They laugh at iniquity. And we're not supposed to rejoice in iniquity. We should be grieved out of our minds. We should be horribly grieved. And a good friend of mine, Bob Enyart, radio talk show host in Denver, wasn't thinking about saying this, so I'm going to have to be careful because sometimes when I don't think about it, then I don't say it just right. But he emailed me this last week because all the stuff going on with Fox News and Bill O'Reilly, you guys heard about all that he was allegedly less than honorable in his relationship with the women there at Fox News. And what Bob Enyart offered to this lady who is making these allegations is this: it was the culture at Fox News. Here's an example. And he was brought in, they asked him to come in and to be an example of a Christian pastor they deceived him. We want you to come and talk about this issue. And so then he gets there. He's sitting on the Fox show. There's different panel of people, and he's going to be the Christian pastor panelist. And then one of the ladies goes over, and one of the other panelists that was brought in goes over and sits on his lap provocatively and being perverted, trying to be perverted on the scene, and everybody's laughing it up, and then I was so disgusted. I just got up, I pulled my microphone off, and I walked off the stage. And then what they did in the promotion for that show is they over and over again in the advertisement showed that scene to millions of people on Fox News. A woman going and sitting on the pastor's lap. And so all the people, let's watch that. Isn't that cool? Yeah, cool, get him. They're rejoicing in iniquity because they don't know the love of God. They don't have the fear of God. They love hell. They hate heaven. And they're going to get what their wish is. Departure from God. But we, on the other hand, we do not rejoice in iniquity, but we rejoice in the truth. And what's the truth? The end is coming. Judgment is coming. The lust of the world, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, lust of the flesh, it's all going to go away. The lust of this world is going to pass away, but he that does the will of God abides forever. And we've been given a great privilege of faith and love in Jesus Christ to be able to be set free from this collapsing world of decadence and filth. And we get to come out of it and see the truth with our eyes, Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, to get saved, to get out, the one door that gets us off this sinking Titanic. And love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Love's going to last forever. So we are commanded by the forever God, because he is love, we're commanded by the forever God to let the Holy Spirit work in our hearts to bring these kinds of love into our life. And we're cool with that, right? We know that when we're not there, that we've sinned against God, we should be apologizing and asking for forgiveness from God. I mean, thanking God for his forgiveness, asking for forgiveness of the people that we offend through violation of this love, and let love reign in our lives. Amen? Because the devil uses hatred to mess things up. Love, verse 17, going back to 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. We've already talked about this in an earlier chapter. John keeps repeating this. If I know I'm mature in love, I know Jesus. And I can be bold on the day that Jesus comes, because I don't have to fear a thing, because the love of God has been perfected in me. As he is, which is love, we shall become. Even though he was hated by the world, he loved, right? And judgment is not an act of him throwing a fit again. It's to make it so there can be a heaven for us. It's not hatred for the sinners. It's giving them what they wanted and giving us what he wanted to give us by his grace and his mercy upon us. So we're in this world. He wants us to love too. And, you know, again, compared to the shooter at Fresno, aren't you glad you served the God of love? Can you imagine what it is to be serving the God who says, go and kill people? You know, they don't believe. And just imagine, you know, and when the Pope this last week, he said, we're all children of God. Again, he's March 29th, I should say. He had a big ecumenical council over there, and he's continuing to try and create the global religion of the Antichrist, setting the stage for it. Another reason why we know we're converging on to the last days is because the whole world is going towards this. We're all children of God. We're all worshiping the same God. And the Pope said, this is the quote, we are all children of God. He has Muslims and various different forms of, quote, Christianity around him. We are all children of God, and we, as his eminence, because this Cardinal Jean-Louis Turan had just said, we have a common father on earth, Abraham, and we come from that first, going out of Abraham up to today. Altogether, we are brothers, and as brothers, all different and all the same as the finger of a hand. There are five fingers, all fingers, but all different. Is that true? No, it's a lie from the pit of hell. We don't have all our own, we all came from Abraham, because the Muslims say Abraham, instead of Isaac, it's Ishmael. And so that's why they say for this global religion, hey, we all got Abraham. Christians got Abraham. Jews got Abraham. Muslims have Abraham. We've all got Abraham. And let's not talk about whether it's Isaac or Ishmael. Let's just be all one. Well, he forgets something. It's not the same God of the Muslims. Even the God of religious Judaism is not the God of the Bible. Because religious Judaism is trusting in Judaistic religious works to get saved. See, biblical Judaism is the Jews that have received Jesus as their Messiah, like we all have. So even Judaism is a cult apart from Jesus' Judaism. And everything is a lie. Every other religion is a lie. We're not all brothers and sisters spiritually until we become a adopted children of God through his son, Jesus Christ, the biblical Jesus Christ. And yet you say that today, even in most of the church, the so-called church today, that'd get you thrown out the door to say that as a congregant. If you were a congregant in the church and somebody brought it up and you brought that up, you'd have leadership from the church come in and tell you not to come back. Because it is just such a powerful movement that is sweeping and taking out big name pastors that are joining in this lie. So, in the title of that, if you wanted to Google it, Pope's words to interreligious Iraqi group. This is the Iraqi group that had the atrocities that I told you about that happened with ISIS. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world, and we serve the God of love, gonna serve the God of love till we die. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. And that is such a powerful, powerful statement, because it's saying, every person says, are you going to go to heaven when you die? Well, I hope so. You know what that means? They have fear. They have a little bit of fear. I'm not sure. And what the Bible says is, if you have perfect love, if you have a perfect awareness of the love of God through Jesus Christ for you, you have no fear that he's coming. Of course, when I die and go be with him, I know I'm going to be saved. I know he's going to save me, because I don't have that fear of judgment, because I know the judgment was placed on his son Jesus. By faith, I've trusted in that. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. Someone who knows they are truly loved by God cannot help but love him back. Amen. I mean, when you know that his love was to overlook all your sins that you committed against him and against those he created, and he's willing to wipe that all out, and he took the punishment you deserved upon himself on the cross, and he did that for you to give you everlasting life, how can you not but love him? Because he first loved us. And the people that don't love Jesus, they don't really understand the love of God. They don't understand what God has done to make a way for them to be saved. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Actually will love his brothers. If you love God, you're going to get the Holy Spirit in you, and the Holy Spirit in you is going to start changing you into having a love for your brothers. It's going to be the natural result of your discipled, sanctified life, is you're going to get more and more in love with your brothers. And the Lord will use trials to get that to happen if you can't do it on your own. So the longer that we continue to grow in our relationship with Jesus, the more we're going to grow in that 1 Corinthians 13 agape love. And may God help us all to be lovers, no matter what happens, no matter what the world throws at us here, maybe even soon. We're going to have to dig down deep, because our flesh is not going to want to go there. Amen? So let's stand and pray. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your spirit, Lord. And that you're so patient with us, even as your children. Because, God, we all lack in truly walking in the love that you have. But we pray that you would do whatever surgery is necessary to change us in these things, to turn away our wrath and anger, and quick to be provoked, and envy and pridefulness, and keeping into account wrongs suffered, and keeping a list of wrongs, etc., that, Lord, you would just help us to wipe those things out and to love like you love. And, Father, we just pray for our loved ones that don't yet understand the grace and mercy of your saving plan for them, that you would help us to communicate it in a way that they, too, could be saved, Lord. And we lift up that Taylor, the homeless guy, that almost died the other day, and we just pray that whatever seeds have been planted by Jonathan and others that are coming into his life, and he's been cut to the heart, Lord, with a knowing that he needs to turn away from his life of sin to draw close to you. We pray that miraculously, Lord, you would touch him by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
To worship you, O my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King. In what you hear, may it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear.
And it is a sweet sound in his ear. For us to love him and just appreciate him. And God bless you. Keep you in his care as you go home and continue to fellowship in Jesus. Amen.